Our second reading for this day of Pentecost is Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and their helper, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever made a promise to someone that you were unable to keep? How did you feel? Did you feel like you let that person down? Did you feel ashamed? Did you feel full of guilt? Or have you ever had someone break a promise to you that they made to you and that they failed to keep? Did you feel let down? Did you feel disappointed? Well, we as human creatures fail to keep our promises all the time. Children get distracted and forget to do the chore that they promised their parents that they would do. Friends forget to show up to events that they promised they would be at. Adults forget to pray for those who they promised they would pray for. We make promises all the time, and we break those promises all the time. And this is not just a phenomenon of the 21st century. This is how humanity has been from the very beginning. Hear these very words that the people of Israel promised and proclaimed after the Exodus from Egypt, when Moses spoke to them all the laws that God had given to them. This is what they said: "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." A promise to do all the things God told them to do. Do you know what happened after they said those words? Moses goes up to God on Mount Sinai, and there he is visiting with God for 40 days. He comes back down from Mount Sinai, and what does he see? The children of Israel bowing down and worshiping before a golden calf that they constructed on their own. In just 40 days, they had forsaken their promise that they gave to God. So it is with us as well. We quickly forget all that we say and all that we promise. That's the difference between us and God. We constantly go back on our word. We constantly break our promises. God, however, fulfills his promises. And one of those great promises we see and celebrate on this day of Pentecost. Now, this event of Pentecost should be pretty familiar for most of us, as it's one of the events that we celebrate and look at every single year in the church year. But let's just recap roughly what happens. So the disciples are all waiting in this house in Jerusalem. And then while they're waiting, suddenly this rushing wind comes in, and then these tongues of fire descend onto each one of them. And then when the tongues of fire come onto them, then they go out into the streets and they start proclaiming all of the mighty works of God to all of the people that were there in Jerusalem. And they're speaking all sorts of different tongues and languages that beforehand they never knew. And while they're speaking all these different tongues, all the audience that's in Jerusalem is hearing these words in their own language. It's a truly unique and powerful and, frankly, strange event. It's okay to call it strange because it is a weird event. So we're going to take a closer look at this event. And we're going to focus on three unique aspects of God through the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at the promise of the Spirit. We're going to look at the power of the Spirit. And we're going to look at the purpose of the Spirit. So promise, power, and purpose. So it's important for us to remember and recall that the day of Pentecost was actually a day that had been foretold and promised to the apostles and disciples. Jesus had promised that this day was going to come. He said these words on Maundy Thursday, the day that he was arrested. And he also said these words right before he ascended into heaven. So these are the words, as a reminder, that Jesus said on Maundy Thursday, as recorded in John 14. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. And also in chapter 16 of John, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send him to you. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And these are the words he says before he ascends into heaven. But you will receive the power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So it is these promises that the Holy Spirit is going to come that guides and directs the apostles and the disciples. For what are they doing in that house in Jerusalem? They are waiting. They're anticipating the Spirit that Jesus himself promised was going to come. They were waiting. They were anticipating. They were living as if that promise was going to be fulfilled to them. Because Jesus said it, they believed it was going to happen. And as it was promised, so it took place. The Spirit was indeed given to them. The promise was fulfilled. So it is with us as well. The promise of the Spirit has been given to each one of us. Not in quite the same way as at Pentecost. We can't expect tongues of fire to descend on all of us and have a huge spectacle of going and speaking in tongues throughout the streets of Fort Wayne. But we do have the promise of the Spirit through our baptisms. As Jesus said in John chapter 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." St. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" St. Paul as well, in Titus chapter 3, "He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So we have the promise that those who are baptized will indeed receive the Holy Spirit. These are just a handful of examples throughout Scripture that proclaims this and promises this. That those who are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit will indeed receive the power of the Spirit. The Spirit will be bestowed on them. And so it is, the Spirit dwells within each of us through our baptism that unites us to Jesus. And it's that Spirit that produces faith in each one of us and allows us to receive salvation and adoption as children of God. So we too, like the apostles, live as people of promise, as our church is aptly named. Though we do not wait for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within us like the apostles, had it come to them, we still live with the promise that the Spirit has indeed been given to us. So with the promise of the Holy Spirit that was given to the apostles and to us, we now get to consider the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit, of course, is very clear in Acts. And we can simply define the Spirit's power as doing something that could not otherwise be done by us. Something unachievable apart from the Spirit. So in the context of the day of Pentecost, the power of the Spirit is present namely through this unique gift of speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is not just simply knowing another language. What's described in Acts is the apostles spontaneously started speaking in other languages that they had not previously known. In fact, there are over 15 different nations that are described as being in Jerusalem at this time. So that is 15 different tongues all being spoken and all being understood at the same time. So very clearly, this is the power of the Spirit at work, because this is not something that could be done otherwise. Likewise, Peter is able to preach to the crowd, and he's able to interpret the words of the prophet Joel, something that neither Peter nor any other apostle does before the Spirit is given to them. So for us today, the Holy Spirit's power is at work in us as well. Not necessarily to speak in tongues, as the apostles did in Pentecost. We shouldn't be looking for that. But still, to do things that we otherwise could not do. Namely, to believe in God. To live according to His will and His commandments. To walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. The power of the Spirit is at work through its fruits. We mentioned this last week, but as a reminder, the Spirit's power is at work through love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Even more than that, you can think in your own lives right now, is there anyone in this very moment that you feel like you cannot forgive them? Is there a temptation that keeps drawing you in and grabbing hold of you and you can't seem to shake it? And you can't resist it no matter how hard you try? It's the power of the Spirit that makes those things possible for us through Christ. As Christ forgave you and me, we are able to forgive others even when it seems impossible. Even when it seems impossible to love that person, we're able to forgive them not on our own abilities, but through the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit is the power of our own crucified, resurrected, and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. That Spirit unites us to Christ through our baptisms, through the hearing of His word, and through the sacrament of the altar, the receiving of His supper. Through these things, we are then strengthened and able to do what we otherwise would not be able to do. And so, the promise of the Spirit that was given to us and to the apostles in Acts, and the power of the Spirit that is at work, leads us then to the purpose and role of the Spirit. The Spirit's perfect purpose is pretty clear to us from Peter's interpretation of the prophet Joel. These are those words again. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So in these words, God, through the prophet Joel, promises to give His Spirit to all flesh. And in the giving of His Spirit, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This very event of Pentecost marks the start of the church's mission to reach all nations and all people. So it's the Spirit's purpose to establish, to guide, and direct this new community in Christ Jesus. A new community not built on all the traditions and laws and covenants of the Jews, but built upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, built upon His incarnation, His ministry, His death, His resurrection, and His ascension. It's through Christ and Christ alone that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will indeed be saved, for He is Lord of all. The purpose of this early church is the purpose of the Spirit, to fulfill what Jesus commanded His disciples to do, to point others to Christ. Jesus told His disciples before He ascended, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The Holy Spirit was sent for the purpose that life and salvation would not be given solely to the Jews, but to the ends of the earth, to the Jew and Gentile alike, that all people could trust in Jesus. And today, the purpose of the Holy Spirit remains the same as it was in the beginning of the church's ministry, to spread the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth, to fulfill the very command that Jesus gave his disciples in the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The growth of the church is not our work. The growth here at Promise is not our work. It's not because we're friendly or welcoming. It's not because we do or say the right things. It's not because we worship in the right way, preach the right words. Of course, we aim to be as faithful as we can in everything we do. But that's not why we grow. That's not why the church grows. The church is sustained and carried on solely by the grace of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, who strengthens and points all believers to Christ Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit's purpose to sustain and lead and guide and direct and grow Christ's church. So thanks be to God that we have received this gracious gift promised to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that even though we break our promises, even though we go against our word, God is faithful and just, and he fulfills his promises. He is faithful and has given the Holy Spirit to each one of you. And he did that so that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, calls on the name of Jesus, will indeed be saved. God is faithful so we can be assured that as Jesus promised he would be back again, he will be returning. So may the Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct you and me so that we're able to trust and have faith in all of God's promises. Amen.